The gospel lesson comes from Mark 4, chapters 24 through 26 through 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like the mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the words to them. As they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, Thou who art one of us, Thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see Thee, a humble heart that we may hear Thee, a heart of love that we may serve Thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in Thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. This morning's parables can teach us many things about the kingdom of God. For starters, they remind us that it's not just about us. And it's not all up to us. Yes, we do play an important part, and yet we have help and must trust and rely upon that which comes from beyond us. One of those important parts that we play is planting seeds. Now, sometimes this is not easy, as we usually approach planting seeds the same way that we approach life. The ways in which we plant seeds mirrors the way in which we approach all of life. Sometimes we are too controlling and we want to tell the seed exactly the kind of plant that it is to be. Other times, we are too lax and we don't create good conditions in order for that seed to grow. While at other times, we are like the sower in the parable of the growing seed this morning. We sow, and then we wait with patience. I'm not a very patient gardener. Now, don't get me wrong, I like to spend time out in the dirt. However, I like to see immediate results. I'm sure that I'm not alone. A friend of mine once told me about his young son who was doing a science project in his elementary school class. He planted several seeds. So there's Kathy for a moment. Well, he was planting seeds and he was supposed to monitor how quickly these seeds grew. Most of us probably remember similar projects like that in elementary school. But a problem arose, however, in the growing process. Seeds don't grow when little hands dig them up every day to see how they're doing. The person scattering seeds in the parable of the growing seed knew better than to uproot a seed before its time. He knew that sowing was his responsibility, but the growth was up to forces beyond his own efforts. The kingdom of God is not just about us. It's not just up to us. We cooperate, we collaborate, we co-create to make God's kingdom visible here on earth. Now, it always amazes me that seeds can grow beyond or in spite of our own efforts. Case in point, who knew that those abundant maple seeds would germinate and sprout under just the right amount of mulch spread in the parsonage landscaping? Who knew? Forces beyond my best efforts have produced a tree farm. I guess that would be a good thing if you were in the lumber business. You see, within the context of this morning's text, the gospel writer of Mark uses Jesus' parables of the growing seed and the mustard seed to comfort those who are in charge of guiding his fledgling church. We sometimes forget and take for granted that the early church was planted under adverse conditions. Mark's gospel was written at a time of high anxiety. Church leaders felt vulnerable and helpless. We could see why seed parables, while present in all three of the Gospels, are particularly prominent in Mark. Seeds are small and vulnerable, but they can sprout and grow even in tough times. Seeds often grow beyond our efforts and beyond our expectations. Most scholars agree that Mark's Gospel was the earliest of all the Gospels. It was probably written around 70 AD, shortly after the Romans' destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It reflects a time of imminent persecution for those who professed the Christian faith. It was a tough time. They assumed that they would soon face destruction themselves, and as a result, probably questioned all of their efforts and assumed that they were insignificant and ineffective. Speculation about the inbreaking of the kingdom of God swirled around, but they had their doubts. In their preaching and teaching and conversations with one another, there was an emphasis on the need for alertness, since the kingdom ushered in by the Son of God would come at a time that they did not expect. However, they remained faithful. They kept an eye on the present and an eye on the future. They needed times of reassurance that it was not just totally up to them. They needed encouragement and a sign that God was working with them. Jesus' series of seed parables about the kingdom of God in this chapter of Mark teach that God's rule is sometimes often something hidden, often something indirect, often something surprising in its manifestation, often something that is not easily perceived. The images would have been tangible and real, full of life, familiar to those disciples in the early church. The parables taught that the kingdom was near and was breaking into their ordinary lives. The images also had an air of strangeness and improbability about them. They convey that the kingdom transcends our abilities to define it. The mustard seed and the resulting growth become a model of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, a symbol of hope. What we see is just a small seed, its insignificance and hiddenness. Mark wants us to know that God's purposes, though hidden, are still present. In fact, always present. Seeds are a good image of the mysterious reality whose growth occurs without our instigation and often without our knowledge and our careful planning. And the results are frequently disproportionate to the seeds we plant. The seed parables have many layers to them and can teach us many things about the kingdom of God. Now, just as we think that we have it all figured out, one commentator asks the question, what if the key to reading the parable of the mustard seed was to understand what a peculiar seed it actually is? The thing about the mustard seeds is that while some varieties were used as a spice and others medicinally, in general, those mustard plants were considered at least very pesky and often somewhat dangerous. Why? Because the wild mustard seed is incredibly hard to control. Once it takes root, it could take over the whole planting area. That's why the mustard seed were only occasionally found in a garden in the ancient world. More likely, you would look for it overtaking a hillside or an abandoned field. So think about your favorite weed. Crabgrass? Dandelions? Wild onions? Your farmer, Jerusalem artichokes, right? Spent a whole summer pulling those out of a bean field for a farmer. No fun. Think about your favorite weed. That's pretty much with what Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God. And if we read further in the text, one may then ask, what about the part about the bird seeking refuge? Maybe it's meant as a comforting image. Birds finding shelter from all of the elements. Or maybe, just maybe, given the unfavorable reference to the birds in the previous parable about the sower, do you remember what the birds did? Eating the seed off of the path? Maybe it suggests that once the mustard shrub takes root and the presence of the kingdom of God is being realized, that all sorts of things begin to happen, including the sudden presence of those undesirables. The undesirables are those who some would consider not belonging to the kingdom of God. Seen this way, Jesus' parable is a little darker, even ominous. As John Dominic Crossan puts it, the point, in other words, is not just that the mustard seed starts as a proverbial small seed and grows into a shrub 3 or 4 feet or even higher. It is that it tends to take over where it is not wanted. That it tends to get out of control, and that it tends to attract birds within cultivated areas where they're not particularly desired. And that, said Jesus, was what the kingdom of God was like. Not the mighty cedar of Lebanon, and not quite like a common weed, more like a pungent shrub with dangerous takeover properties. Something that you would want in only small and carefully controlled doses, if you could control it. That may be the ultimate point. This kingdom of God, Jesus proclaims, isn't something that we can't control. And it's definitely not safe. Not, that is, if we are even minimally satisfied with the way things are. Rather, the kingdom of God comes to overturn, to take over, to transform the kingdoms of this world. Even the kingdoms that we have constructed with our own efforts. Jesus speaks these parables into the lives of his disciples in order to bring them hope for the future. Jesus encourages them to plant seeds and then become rooted in that hope for the sake of God's kingdom. Jesus did not want them overcome with doubt and uncertainty. He wanted them to work at bringing and realizing God's kingdom here on earth. These parables speak to us. We must learn that we must cultivate the soil, plant the seeds, and then trust that God will work beyond our wildest imaginations to bring hope and peace and freedom and grace into our lives. In the lives of those around us. These are God's promises. Let us not get discouraged. A friend of mine who has a toddler living with cystic fibrosis and who was dealing with an incredibly difficult week shared this in her blog over the last few days. Her son is having some health issues, and they are now faced with several treatment options. They find themselves questioning the doctors and questioning themselves. They are not sure what's coming next. She writes, "There's a great book that I read to my kids from time to time called The What If Monster that I'd like to share some words from. Some what-if monsters like to hang out and fill up our heads with worry and doubt. They are sneaky and quiet and quick as a blink, and the words that they whisper can change how we think. Jonathan James heard those words full of dread, and all of those what-ifs got stuck in his head." The book goes on to show Jonathan in a number of situations that are influenced negatively by his fears. Climbing a tree? What if I fall? Jumping into the pool? What if it's cold? Playing baseball? What if I'm bad and the other kids laugh? Painting? What if it's ugly? Trying a new food? What if it's yucky? But then, Jonathan looks that what if monster straight in the eye and says, "What if you're wrong? What if I made it to the top of the tree and I never slip or skin my knee? What if I jump into the pool and everyone thinks I look really cool? Or what if baseball is nothing but fun and I end up hitting a triple home run?" She is trusting that God will provide. She and her husband realize that it's not all up to them. Those what-if monsters were alive in the minds of those of the early church and are alive inside of all of us in both negative and positive ways, and frankly and often seemingly opposing ways. One positive what-if is met by a negative but what-if, and vice versa. How do we change all of our worry and our anxiety and fear into something productive? What if there is another way to grow in our faith from and with one another? What if we learn something new? What if it's been the missing piece all along? What if that faith spreads? What if it empowers others? What if we fail? What if we succeed? What if we don't make a difference? What if we change the world? What if it's true? What if it's not just about us? What if it's not all up to us? Let us plant the seeds and see what happens next. Thanks be to God. Amen.